First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Go, who's got 1 Timothy 4:12? And Ecclesiastes 12:1.
Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days have come by, for the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in
them. Amen. If you're looking at the chart and realizing how far we got last week, you realize that we've got 6 months ahead of us, and I'm not going to do that, all right? So I'm going to try to hit some highlights for you tonight, and then I will make copies of this available, filled in for you. How's that sound? Next week, we announced it last week. If you're a teenager, parent of a teenager, grandparent of a teenager, soon to have a teenager, might someday have a teenager, soon to be a teenager, or wish you were a teenager, you need to hear what we're talking about. And so let's have a word of prayer, and we'll jump back into our study. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the wonderful way that you have blessed this church with its youth. We thank you for the spirit and the attitude of our teens, and pray that you would continue to help them reflect your Son. I ask that you would use them mightily in our ministry, and use us mightily to be an encouragement, a molding and shaping factor in their lives. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll remind you that last week we talked about teenagers from the scripture that God had used, and we're going to deal with different aspects of ministry over the next several weeks, different groups, ministry groups, and one of the ones I just want to start with was our teen group. And so we looked last week at different teenagers God has used, whether it was Joseph, whether it was Daniel, whether it was David, different Timothy. We looked at those. The key that we were looking at was that God uses teenagers, that we're not waiting for them to be usable, that they are at the time in their life when God can use them, and not just use them, teenagers, but use them mightily to do incredible things for his glory. In fact, I would say to you that if you, as a teenager who knows Christ as your Savior, do not start your life out very quickly on a path of service to the Savior, you will become one of those shipwrecks that we hear about. That teenager who used to go to church, who used to be involved in the things of God, and no longer is. And that's not what we want for you. So our job and our goal is to help you to grow in the grace of Christ, and to challenge you to step up to the plate. My goal is to for everyone else to encourage you that they can, and we ought to make opportunity. And we ought to then help them, help God in getting them ready for what he has for them. So we're just going to kind of jump back into this thing. We did junior high social behavior last week. One of the junior hires came up to me last week at the end of the service and said, Pastor, I just want you to know, you nailed it. That was my goal. And, you know, so I'm just telling you, you know, this is not intended to be brag. It's fact. I have decades of ministry experience with teenagers. You know I don't look old enough for that to be true, but it is the truth. And so I'm not just talking off the top of my head, and I'm also trying to bring in spiritual truth or scriptural truth to back up the things that I'm telling you. So I know God uses teenagers, and I know God wants to use teenagers. And I, by virtue of that, am convinced that God wants to use our teenagers. So having said all of that, we have a responsibility. And so we're going to run ourselves through just some highlights here, right? So if you'll find junior high, or let's go back to the senior high on social behavior. We're going to fill in some blanks there quickly, and I'm going to run through one major point for the rest of the chart. And I'll just fill in the rest of the chart, you know, by hand, and you'll just have to take some time to read through it. But we'll walk ourselves through the senior high social behavior, since it's important to balance out what we did with the junior high last week. Social behavior for the senior high group. First of all, peer pressure is strong. Now, I say that, and teenagers resist. No, Pastor, that's not me. I'm just telling you as a general statement. Are there some teenagers unaffected by peer pressure? Yes. There's probably one someplace on this planet. But I'm just telling you that as a general statement, senior high teenagers are greatly affected by peer pressure, which means that the peer group that you allow for your kids is very important. Can we think of a Bible principle that backs up that understanding? That the peer group that you allow to impact your children is important. Can you think of a Bible principle that would back that up? Jonathan, did you raise your hand? I'm sorry, I thought you raised your hand. You moved. Don't move when you're sitting there. Give me one.
Absalom,
what about him?
You have a situation where, actually that wasn't Absalom, that was Rehoboam, but he had his dad died, he was king.
Rehoboam is the king of Israel, right? And his dad dies, and he's trying to decide how he's going to rule. And the older men in his entourage come to him and say, you need to slow down, stop, think, take your time. Your dad taxed these people. Your dad made it difficult for these people. And if you want these people to love you and follow you, you need to reconsider this. His young friends came up and said, no, here's what you need to do. Tax them more. Get more out of them. And so he did. And he led Israel right into a revolt. It was a bad thing. But he succumbed to peer pressure. Can you think of any Bible principles that would back up that concept? Okay, they that walk with the wise, and then the companion of a fool, and the companion of an angry man. We're looking at Proverbs. All of these things. So who your friends or your kids hang around with is very important. If I were right now, moms and dads, to do this, I'm not going to, so don't panic. If I were to point at you and say, name your kids' three best friends. Now, go. Do we know who they're even hanging around with? And I know, and listen, I'm talking to quote unquote the cream of the crop here, right? I mean, this is the Sunday night Christianity. I would expect that we would probably say, yeah, I think I do. I would hope that. You would be amazed how many people have no clue who their kids hang around with. And yet peer pressure is going to be one of the greatest things that's going to drive your children during, and I don't take offense to being called a child, all right? Drive your teenager in this stage of their life. They're very susceptible to peer pressure. Cliques begin to appear. What's the difference between a clique and a group of peers? A clique is, you're getting there, is exclusive. You know, I'm well aware that you're not going to be friends with everybody, and you're not going to be best friends with everybody. Hello, thus the term best friends would mean nothing, right? You're not going to be best friends with everybody. I'm well aware of that. That's not even the point. Even within a youth group, a small youth group of 30, 40 kids, there's going to be, you know, certain kids that get along better than other kids, and they kind of tend to hang out with one another. That's not a problem. It becomes a problem when it becomes a clique, which is exclusive. You know, us three and everybody else, leave us alone. And you can't get into the group. That becomes a clique. Cliques are a problem. And senior high teenagers are susceptible to cliquish behavior. We say to our teenagers, we meaning Pastor Andrew and I, he says it more. I don't get a chance to say it that much. Let me reiterate what Pastor Andrew says, all right? If you have a significant other, and by the way, we don't discourage relationships like that. It's much better to have, you know, we really like Susie and Billy more than we like Billy and Tom. You understand? So we're not, it's not like we just discourage. But if you have a significant other and your significant other act like there's nobody else there in the middle of the youth activity, then you are not doing what you should be doing. If you can't be a part of the group, then you don't belong together. And parents, you need to back us up on this. If your kids can only just talk to one another, and all they do is just, it's like all this, and so the youth pastor's up there saying, come on, I want you to get involved. And they're beating themselves up trying to get the kids involved, and they're still, then you need to help us out and say, all right, we're done. And when you can learn to be a part of the group, then you can learn. Because that's called life, folks. That's the way life is. And at this point in their lives, they do not need to be like this, right? It's okay to be like this. Let's talk to one another. It's nice. But there's other people around there. All right, I'll keep going. Next one. And I'm trying to be careful now because I know that we have a very mixed group in this on Sunday night. This is okay. Senior high. Now, in junior high, they wake up to the idea of the opposite gender. But by senior high, there's a definite attraction that direction. We hope. There's a definite attraction that direction. And that's okay. Don't panic, dad, mom. You know, your kid is not being, trying to say all these things. Man, it's hard to talk to a mixed crowd about the, you know, but your kid is not being perverted. Your kid is being normal. Give me an amen, somebody. Give me a hallelujah, somebody. Thank you, Charlton. Yes, amen. It is normal. And so don't be scared of it. Just be aware of it, right? But just because it's normal doesn't mean that you bury your head in the sand and give them no guidance. They need some guidance, but, you know, that's going to be normal. So this is where they are socially. They're not going to say this. They're never going to say this to you. They're going to say it to us as pastors because we're outside the loop, so to speak. But, you know, they actually start liking responsibility at this age in their lives. They want to have expectations upon them. They want a reason to do what's right. More than it's just what's right, they want to feel the burden that comes with responsibility. And, you know, we talked about this last week. In America, we've come to this place in our lives where we keep moving the age out so that literally, you know, our 26-year-olds are still on our insurance, living in our basements, you know, and not taking on responsibility. And I'm not, if you have a 26-year-old living at your house, it doesn't mean you're a bad parent or they're a bad person. But it could. Do you understand? I mean, our job is to let go. Can I draw this illustration? This is old. You've heard this before. But mom and dad get married, and they get married until what? Until death do us part, all right? And in order for that to happen, you know what the Bible says? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two become one flesh. And that relationship is intended to be till death do us part. It's intended to be permanent. And as much as this breaks the heart of every mother sitting here, that is not true about the relationship you have with your child. The purpose, your purpose, is to raise that child so that they will leave you and go cleave to someone else. That's what you're supposed to do. So we've got to pass on some responsibility. We've got to prepare them for this eventual reality in their lives. And it is a temporary relationship. And the parents that get this out of whack will usually destroy their own marriage because they're so busy trying to build a permanency to a relationship that God intended to be temporary. So teenagers, it also means this. You're not supposed to stay there forever. You understand? That's what it means. So you're supposed to grow up, find somebody that you would cleave to, and then leave mom and dad, and they'll cry, and you might not, they'll cry, trust me, and cleave unto that one. And it requires us to start giving them some responsibility. Okay, now we're going to jump back. You can take that chart wherever it is. I don't know exactly where you're at on the chart. But find where it says spiritual things, all right? We'll give you a couple of spiritual things that are true about both junior high and high school. Junior high, spiritually speaking, I'm going to assume that we have saved kids, all right? That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with saved kids. That may not be the case always, but that's what we're going to assume as we talk here. Junior hires are very eager to grow spiritually. If you have a junior hire, you need to jump all over this right now, Dad. They are ready to grow by leaps and bounds spiritually. And one day they'll become a senior hire, and that won't be quite as true. And you'll have wished you had invested more in their junior high years. And it'll be too late. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day, and while my fingers pressed it still, it bent and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past, the piece of clay was hard at last. My early impress still it bore, but I could change it nevermore. You take a piece of living clay and gently mold it day by day, forming with your skill and art a youngster's soft and tender heart. You come again when days are gone, it is a man you look upon. Your early impress still he bore, but you could change him nevermore. Wow. While they are tender, grab hold. Invest. Quit investing so much into sports at the expense of the Spirit of God in their lives. I love sports. My kids were all involved in those things. But in the end, I want my 25-year-old to be in church serving God. And while they are tender is when it's going to happen. And we've got to grab hold of this truth. So junior hires are just, they're just begging for someone to come along and give them a reason to live. And we've got the opportunity. We have the best reason for them to live. So while they're tender, they're eager, they're anxious. Senior hires. You know what senior hires want? They want a belief that has some results. They're tired of hearing the stories but never seeing the power of God. Do you understand? They are ready. Their eyes are opening up and they're saying, okay, and they're struggling right now as a senior hire. They're trying to decide the course for the next 60 years of their lives, literally. And if we have shown them a weak and anemic faith, then they're looking at us and saying, why bother? It doesn't affect you very well, so why should I invest so much in it? And they want to see a faith of action. They want to see some things being done. They want to see God's hand actually at work in people's lives. And that means we have to step up to the plate. Sometimes, by the way, can I say this? It's just that we need to share more than we do. We've gotten into a habit back when they were eight of protecting them from knowledge that we didn't think they could handle. And so they never got to see how God provided to pay for the bills. Because we didn't want them at eight to be worried about losing the house. Right? So we didn't share. And now we've gotten in the habit of not sharing. And now here they are 16. And they need to know that, you know what? We can't pay this month's bills unless God does something. Let's pray. We pray. God does something. And they need to see it. But we never get around to sharing it. They never see a faith that's made any real difference. And that's what they're looking for. And if we can't show it to them, they will find something else to hang their hat on. It is what it is. We better have some substance. Remember what faith is? Faith is the evidence and the substance. That's what it is. We better have something they can hang their hat on. Let's skip down if we can to physical. You already know these things. Junior hires are growing rapidly. Junior hires are fun because they're just growing and they're like, for a while, you lose your coordination, you know. Literally, some of these kids grew. How many of you grew at least 4 inches in 1 year? At least 4 inches in 1 year. All the sites, boys are good. And then, okay, so you have four or five, five people over there. You grew at least four inches. Can you imagine stretching your bones 4 inches? It hurts. It does. I wouldn't know. But they would. But you cannot, bones were not meant to be stretched, but that's what happens to them. And some of these kids have grown 6 inches in a summer. And man, that is a big deal. And so their legs are aching. Their eggs may be aching too, I don't know. But their legs are aching. You know, they're hurting, they're tired, they're listless, and you don't know why. It's because they're spending so much energy growing. Hello? That's why. And they've grown so much, they become uncoordinated, they're spilling things, knocking stuff over, you know, it's bad, and yet it is wonderful to watch. It's so much fun. It's a great time. Enjoy it. But they're at that point where the things are changing. Now you get to the, and by the way, things are changing, you know, in every aspect. You know, so puberty is kicking in, and puberty is a, it's a horrible time for every teenager. Every teenager, not just girls, it's a horrible time for every teenager. And by the way, can I just be frank here, all right? Girls are probably way past puberty by the time they've gotten to junior high in this day and age. It's happening more like at 10. That's the average age now for girls. I don't know why. It could be the food we're giving them. It could be the things they're watching on television, but it's happening. But it is a, it's a rough time. It's just a rough time. Everything's changing, and they don't understand it, and things are weird. You know, it's, that's when dads have to really be dads. They have to step in and be a dad and speak, and it's not easy, and it's awkward, and they'll hate it. They'll tell you they hate it, but inwardly, they're so glad to know what you're telling them because they need to hear it. And folks, when did we decide that this kind of education was better suited in the public school system? What idiots were we to think that other people could teach our kids better on the most important thing of their life, apart from salvation, than we? Hello, this isn't rocket science. You don't have to have a degree to teach this stuff. Your great-grandmother knew how to do this a long time ago. What's our problem? Our problem is we're just scared. We're cowards as parents. Step up to the plate. Talk to your kids. They're only going to be this age once, and then it's gone. And they've already decided the directions that they're going. And we need to get there. Then senior hires, you know, all this stuff is together. Can I say this, teenagers? Listen up. This is an amazing thing. This astounds me. Jesus Christ never sinned, right? Amen? Do you agree with that? Jesus Christ went through puberty and never sinned. Think that one through. You know, one day Jesus woke up and said, whoa, what is happening in my body? Just like every other teenager on the planet. And what he's showing us is that even a teenager, empowered by the power of God, can be pure. So now here you get the senior hire and the society. I can't change the society we're giving you. Here's where we are. Our expectation is that you're going to get married before you're 30. That's our expectation. What you got to figure out is how you're going to stay pure until you're 30, if you're going to wait until you're 30 to get married. And it's not an easy circumstance that we've set up for you, because by the time you're in ninth grade, everything works the way it's supposed to, and you know it. They know it, mom, dad. I know that it's hard to think of them as anything but our innocent, angelic 7-year-old, but what they are is potentially an innocent. Never were we angelic, okay, but a potentially innocent teenager who, with your help, could maintain that innocence, that purity. They just have knowledge. They have knowledge you can't take away. And I don't care how tight you draw that bubble around them, you're not going to keep the knowledge away from them, because most of that knowledge is happening on the inside. It's already there. So you're not taking any knowledge away from them. You're going to have to teach them how to use it. So physically, they're there. Mentally, junior hires like challenges. They love games that challenge them. They like to be challenged a little bit. They're tired. Remember that point in which they were no longer happy with Ring Around the Rosie and Patty Cake? You know, it's like we used to just be able to do mundane things and keep them entertained for hours, and then one day they stopped being entertained, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do next. It's because they're wanting some challenges. They're wanting something that makes them think a little bit, something that makes them pushes them physically and makes. They like that challenge, and our job, parents, is to step in with some challenges. By the way, that's God has been so gracious as to give you churches that do that, that help you. You know, it's not our job alone, but we do help you. And you know, one of the reasons why I stand up here every summer and say, we're getting ready to start TNT, and if you'd like to, what do I say every summer? If you'd like to sweat and bleed, I say that every summer. If you like to sweat and bleed, come on out. I want your kids to bleed a little bit. I'm telling you, I want to push them, and I want to push them like they've never been pushed before. I do not want mamby-pamby, you know, kids. We get out there, we play games that we should never play on a public piece of property. It is the grace of God that has kept us from being sued. I know that. We play game. We play spoke tackle. And you get in a circle, and you, I can't explain it all to you, but this group of kids gets up and runs around, and the first one that gets back to point A is the winner, and on the way around, anything goes. Spoke tackle. I mean, those kids are knocking each other down, pushing each other. It sometimes gets really rough. I mean, we've had some kids get hurt. Probably some of your kids get hurt. I'm sorry. No, I'm not even sorry. I'm not. I mean, we're trying to push them. We're trying to give them some challenge. Because guess what? Life one day, if you think spoke tackle is rough, wait until life happens. Right? We better have them toughened up a little bit. And so we do. We play spoke tackle. We just have, you know, so they're wanting some challenges. I'm taking way too much time. I know. Then we get over to the senior high. Senior high, let's see, try to pick one of these. Senior hires. I like this one. Mentally here, we're talking about mentally, right? Senior hires like to debate. Every parent's saying amen. All the seniors saying, nah. You're talking about my dad. You're talking about my mom. They're the ones that debate. I don't. Yeah, okay. Senior hires, they're at that point, they're going to challenge everything that you've always taught them. And, you know, they're way past why and waiting for your explanation, right? Now they're going to come up with a better way to do it and tell you why they think it's a better way to do it. They're going to debate the issue, you know. We should do it this way. We should do it that way. And why do I have to be home at 9 o'clock? Well, let me tell you why I think that I should be allowed to stay out until 10. And they're going to have some really good reasons. They are. I mean, they're pretty bright kids. And they're going to thought this through. And they're ready, and they like that. And that's okay. You know, they're learning how. Remember what they're supposed to do? One day they're supposed to leave us and go and start their own homes. And in order for that to happen, at some point, they do have to begin to think for themselves. And that's a delicate time for us. I mean, us as dads, our authority gets bruised easily. Hey, how dare you? You know, I'm in charge. And our authority gets, and it's hard for us sometimes to back up and say, wait a minute, I need to be wiser about this. I need to slow down and say, okay, son, I'll give you a chance. You give it a try that way. Let's see if it works. And if it works, great. Then we got, you know, it's win-win. If it doesn't work, then we're there to help them pick up the pieces and figure out how to make it work, right? It's a hard time, but that's where senior hires are. They want, they're ready to start challenging and thinking those things through. Emotionally, teenagers don't have emotions, so let's skip past that. Oh, emotionally, where do I go with this one, all right? These you already know, right? Of course, the junior high years, when they're going through puberty, they're just up and down, hot and cold, happy and sad. It's just like they're all over the place, you know. And I'm talking about the last 5 minutes. I'm not talking about the last 5 weeks. I mean, it's just all over the place. They're all being hormonally challenged. And I know it's not fair. I can't help it, girls. But that challenge will continue for you beyond your puberty years. And us guys get off a little easier, and you have to take that argument up with God. I didn't set up the rules. And it is what it is. You just need to be aware of it. So there's that kind of emotion. But let's just specifically about junior hires. Junior hires are very easily influenced emotionally. Can I tell you what I did with my youth group one time? I am not suggesting this. Pastor Andrew, if you do this, you're in trouble. I stood up before my youth group. I had a youth group of about 75 teenagers at Faith Baptist in Avon, and I said, with tears rolling down my cheeks, I'm dying of cancer. I had those kids weeping in the aisles. Oh, man, it was awful. It was a horrible thing to do. I just wanted to see if I could get them to believe it. And they did. Oh, it was horrible. But they're just so, and the junior hires especially. I mean, I don't think they've yet forgiven me. And they've got junior hires of their own. It was bad. It was. But they're very, very easily influenced emotionally. And by the way, this is why it's really dangerous. I had a teacher. Oh, I'll dig it out for you and read it to you next week. I promise I will. But I had a teacher, Miss Wagner. Now, Miss Wagner, I don't know how old she was, but she was fresh out of college, someplace in there, because she was beautiful. I mean, she was beautiful. And every one of us guys thought she was beautiful, all right? And Miss Wagner knew how to play that game. Now, she flirted with her class. I look back on it now, I realize it. But at the time, I didn't. And here's the unique thing about Miss Wagner. I'm already at an emotional state in my life, and she's already the most beautiful thing that I've met personally at this point in my life. I'm probably, 13? And Miss Wagner led our class into transcendental meditation. I'm talking about Avon High School back in the 1970s, okay? It confused this young man. It really did. You know, and so I got, oh, you know what? I was 16. All right, I was even older. I was 16. I got saved that year. And all of a sudden, things began to wake up in my brain. And so when she signed my yearbook, she was engaged to get married. She got engaged that year to a man named John, who spelled his name J-O-N. And I spell my name J-O-H-N. And she wrote, John, J-O-N, John, J-O-H-N, dear sweet inspiration of mine, I'm almost quoting this for you. I'll read it to you next week. I long to be caught up with you in the heavenlies. And she goes into this thing and then kisses Anne. That's how she signed my yearbook. I'm not making that up. That's how she signed my yearbook. This is my teacher. I tell you, it's different. Except for the grace of God stepping into my life, things could have been really, really weird in the way I turned out. Do you understand? Okay, maybe they are anyway. I'm not going to argue that point. Real quickly, I'll get over emotionally. Senior hires. Now, I'm talking about senior high boys especially. You know what senior high boys are? Senior high boys, they have all the same emotions as everyone else on the planet. They just hate to show them. The worst thing you can do to a senior high boy is to get him to cry. He hates it. He doesn't want to show that emotion. He wants to show everybody he's growing up. So all I'm saying to us parents is that outwardly, you may think, oh, wow, they're so hard and cold. But just know that most of it is an act. Because they're having the same emotions as everybody else. They just don't want to show it. It's difficult for them. They don't want that attention drawn to them in that aspect. Girls are a little bit different. They're still a little more emotional, but, you know, it's there. All right. And I think I've just about given you one for everything. And I'll get the chart made out or filled out. I've got it filled out on my computer. I'll print it out and get it to you next week so that you can look through all of those things on your own. All right. Teenagers. I love them. And I want you guys to know I love you. I have been so thrilled to be the pastor of Southeast Baptist Tabernacle because for years, I think we've had the best teenagers on the planet. I love it. We see it. Remember a few weeks ago when we had the teen sing-spiration on a Sunday night? Wasn't that one of the sweetest services you've ever sat through? It was wonderful. That's what God's doing with our teens. So, boy, it's a good time in their life. I want to see. And I'm beginning to see some of it. I've been here long enough. I've been here 25 years. I want to see the second generation of teenagers. I want to see that moms and dads who were once teenagers in our youth group have stayed faithful and planted themselves in church so much so that we're now helping them raise their children. And it's starting to happen. Many of you sitting out here came from my youth group. And that makes me old. It does. but it blesses my heart like you cannot imagine. And that's because teenagers are a great group to work with. Father,